All right, we're going to try something different tonight. So if it's a bust, you can let us know. But Aaron and I are going to try to teach this or preach this together. Tonight we're talking about a new song. And what's cool about a new song is it sings about the very thing that we'll end this series with, which is the victory that we have in Jesus when he gives us a new heaven and a new earth. Amen, church? And so we're excited to be able to do this. Aaron's going to kick it off and get us off the ground. And then I'm going to teach, and then he's going to teach, and then I'll close it out for us. And we promise to get you out of here by, I don't know. Well, we promise to get you out of here. Let's just say that, okay?
Listen, and, we don't make promises we cannot keep. That's.
I promise we get him out of here.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. They will leave at some point tonight.
All right.
So I'm just
going to pray for us, and then Aaron's going to get us started. God, thank you for putting a new song in our heart. It's been pretty encouraging to hear how often your people were asked to sing a new song. And this one is different because it's the final song. It's the one that the redeemed get to sing. And so God, teach us tonight what it means to have a new song in our heart because of what you've done for us. Help us to learn how to sing a new song, not just with our mouth, but with our lives, so that you're honored in all of those things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, so Cord came to me last week and was like, hey, you want to double team this thing? And I was like,
I did not sound
yes,
like that.
Yeah, you're like, let's double team it. No, so I was like, yeah, sure. What do you want? No. But what's interesting is actually he picked Revelation chapter 5 when it comes to the new song, and I picked Revelation chapter 14, and I thought he was going with chapter 14, and he thought I was going with chapter 5. So it was interesting how that ended up happening. But I was thinking about this new song, and man, music just has a way of getting into our souls, you know, in a way that other things just don't. You know, we can remember just hearing a song, man. You can be transported to a place you were when you were younger, you know, or somebody you danced with when you were in middle school, or like, you know, remember those middle school dances? Anybody? Yeah, high school dances, right? Yeah,
Barry Manilow.
Yeah. That's because you're old. I'm sorry, that was an old joke. I promised I wouldn't do that anymore. Anyway.
Who did you promise that to?
And myself, and I totally, anyways. I don't know about you, but there's times where I'm like in the, you know, supermarket, and I'm walking around the supermarket, you know, and like the music on the intercom just like hits, you know what I'm saying? Like it's like, you know, Whitney Houston's on there, and she's like, oh, I wanna dance with somebody, you know? And then like all of a sudden, something happens to me on the inside, you know? Literally, I'll be in the aisle and I can't help but just be like, I want to feel the heat with somebody, you know? Like,
music. This is a bad idea.
Music just has a way of doing that to you, you know? Am I alone in the room?
Yes.
Like, no, I knew it, you know? So you'll mouth the words, you know? Like, you'll mouth the word, and like you do, sometimes you get caught up in the moment, right? And people come walking by and you're like, I wasn't doing anything. You know, like they catch you in the moment. But music can also do this thing to us where, man, you hear the beginning of a worship song that you know, and automatically, you're placed into a heart of worship, you know? Like automatic, because music just has a way of reaching deep into our souls. My kids love to make me cry. Anybody else's kids like to make you cry? Yeah, they just like to see me cry. They're like, can we make dad cry? You know, or can we make dad laugh? They like to see me laugh, you know? And they're pretty funny, so that happens quite a bit. The crying thing doesn't, but my son introduced this new song to me, and man, my wife and I both just started bawling, because it was just about getting back to the heart of God and the simplicity of faith, and like, you know, and I was just like, you know, like I remember what it's like, you know, and they're both looking at me, my sons are both looking at me smiling, I'm like, we got them. You know, I'm like, you guys are sick. Anyway, but so we're talking about new songs. And man, some of you in the room have had friends like send you a new song. And you're like, that was lame. Like, why'd you send me that song? But then you've had other people send you a new song. And you're like, man, that is like one of my new favorites, you know? And so just as we kind of go through this tonight, you know, let the idea of music And singing and song just kind of fill your hearts in a way that maybe it hasn't before. And what's interesting about these new songs is one we're kind of given in Revelation and the other one we're not, you know? So it's a real just interesting thing. I'm gonna let Cord start off with Revelation chapter 5.
I knew you were gonna sing. I knew you were gonna do it. I just, you know, and so, yeah, it's true that music has an incredible, indelible effect upon us as people. I tend to like watching periodically. I like watching The Voice or American Idol. I haven't watched American Idol this year, but I did happen to watch the episode on Monday night where they're in Hawaii and they're doing an Ohana event where the 30 contestants are going to go to 20 and they have to sing a song dedicated to family, Ohana. And there, a lot of them would have their family there. And so I'm a little bit like Aaron's kids. I like to see people cry when I give them a song or whatever. And so there was one particular moment with one particular gal who wrote a song to her mother. And the title of the song was called A Woman of Me. And she had written this song to her mom to express to her how throughout her whole life of all of these mess ups, ultimately it was her mother that had made a woman out of her. And I made my wife watch that last night and got to see her cry, and she was really unhappy with me, but I was pretty pleased with myself. And I'm just reminded all the time that music has a part. And one of the things that stood out to me when we started talking about this, as Aaron said, I did Revelation 5 and he did 14, and it worked out perfectly how God uses our mistakes and he made it work out perfectly. But in Revelation 5, right, we get a whole different perspective of this new song. And one of the things that I learned, or I guess relearned through this process, is God likes us to sing loud, right? We get emails complaining, oh, it's too loud, it's too loud. You have any idea how loud it's going to be in heaven, right? With the millions of voices, right? It says that with a loud voice they sang. It's going to be a cacophony of noises. God might whisper, but he wants us to sing. He wants us to shout. He wants to sing, us to sing this new song. And so in Revelation chapter 5, right, here's the summary statement. Those who sang, right, this song are the ones who recognize the worthiness of the Lamb, right? Because here's the scenario in chapter 5. Revelation 5 says this, right? It says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. That sealed, right, writing there is the title deed to earth. It is God's redemptive plan to bring ownership back in, right? And he says, I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who's worthy to break these seals and open the scroll? Who's worthy to take ownership of this, right? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And John says, I wept, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside. And then one of the elders said to me, don't weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. And when you hear that, amen, you immediately get a picture, right? The Lion, right, roaring. He's able to open the scroll. And all of a sudden there's encouragement. And then John sees a lamb, not just a lamb, but a lamb looking as if it had been slain, right? You've all seen those pictures of the soldier, right? Comes home from battle or comes in from battle and they look like they've been in battle, but they don't look beaten because they look even more menacing. They look even more authoritative, right? They have that look like we went, right? We went and we survived, and not only did we survive, we succeeded, right? And there's a feeling of triumph. This is a lamb who looks like it's been slaughtered, right? It doesn't look like a lion, and it doesn't look like it could open the scroll, and yet it was standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. This little lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And that lamb came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, right? And they were holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. I wish we could get into that because there's so much in that verse, right? And listen to what it says. They sang a what, church? Man, they sang a new song. And what they sang was this: you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And John said, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And the only reason that the Greeks used 10,000 was because it was the highest number they had a word for, right? It means infinite, right? Millions upon millions, they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they what, church? They sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And I heard every creature, every single one of them in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. The four living creatures said, amen, let it be. And the elders fell down and worshiped.
Amen. Amen.
Those who sing this new song, right, understand how worthy the Lamb is. Amen. And the reason why he's worthy, right, the reason why he's worthy is because there is a new rescue. Right? It says that this worthy Lamb did what? He was slain and he purchased, right? He purchased us, right? Listen to scripture in Hebrews 9:15, right? All right, it says this. It says, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a what? As a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. John writes it this way. 1 John 2 says, my dear children, I write this to you that so that you will not sin. But if anybody does, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, right? The advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the, say it with me, church, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for ours, but also for what, church?
The sins of the whole world. Amen.
The reason why the Lamb is worthy is because it's a new rescue. Someone chose to lay down their life for you, right? Someone decided that you were worthy for them to sacrifice themselves for. We discard people for millions of reasons. Right? We discard people at work. We discard people in our homes. We discard people in our friendships. We now have a whole social media platform designed to tell you if anybody makes you unhappy, if anybody doesn't fit you, if anybody's not out there to give you your best life, discard them. You don't have time for that. And all it does is communicate to people the same thing that all of us intrinsically study with, and that is anybody, does anybody think I'm worthy? Does anybody think that I'm worth hanging on to? The reason why we sing a new song is because there's a new rescue. Jesus died for you,
yeah.
Right? He died for you. There's no moving forward in faith until you recognize the need for that, right? And people say, well, that's just gonna make people feel bad. No, it's gonna incredibly help you understand your need and God's unbelievable love for you, right? When you understand that in the light of a holy, righteous God, you did not and have not honored that, and that you need someone to stand in your place and go, I'll die for him, right? I'll take her place, right? And he did. And the Bible says, because you recognize his worthiness, then you have a new song. And yet people come to church and they gather on Wednesdays and Saturdays and Sundays, and we gather for events and we, oh, it's too loud. We look at people, right? We look at people and we're like, look at that person dancing over there, making a complete fool out of themselves. And I wonder sometimes, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? Because of what Jesus has done for me. And I get it, it's not everybody's thing, right? I didn't grow up listening to Perry Como, okay? I grew up listening to Kiss, okay? I grew up listening to loud stuff, and so that doesn't bother me, right? And I get it. Like, I have vertigo, and the noise sometimes trips me up, but it doesn't make me want to tell 3,000 people, hey, shh, right? Because Jesus is what? He's worthy. And not only did he die for you, he died for all of us. See, not only is rescue unbelievable because somebody deemed you worthy enough to die for, but God did it for everybody. The people that he rescued, right, were all over the globe, right? Genesis 12, all the way back to the promise of Abraham, right? The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, go to the land I'm going to show you, right? I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. And then he says this, I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And say it with me, church, and what?
All
the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Paul wrote it this way in Galatians, right? Paul said this, you and I are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Everybody online in here, read it with me. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all what?
One
in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. And see, God's rescue isn't just amazing because someone chose you to die for you when lots of people would discard you. He chose you and he died for you and paid for you. But it says he paid for you, meaning you belong to somebody else. You weren't his. He had to go get you. He had to bring you in. And who did he do it with? He did it with everybody. And one of the greatest tragedies and travesties of our church, even in the modern ages, we still can't get along with other believers that don't look like us. Like, we live in an unbelievably divided world, an unbelievably divided nation. We still live in a day and a time where racism is real, and we just can't seem to get past it. And yet the Bible over and over, somebody said, I read somewhere, somebody said the other day that slavery isn't condemned in Scripture. Are you kidding me? Right? There is no room for racism in the body of Christ because he died for all people, and the rescue includes red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, yeah, man, woman, young, yeah, old, all of them. Yeah. And listen, I don't understand every culture. I don't pretend to act like, oh, it's no big deal. Listen, there are things in me I have to get over, but there is something more important than me and maybe some of the stupid stuff that I've been taught. The reality is in Christ, all of that goes away. And if we ever have a hope of reaching young people, we talk about it all the time, oh, we gotta reach the young people. Great, I agree with you. We gotta reach young people, but you are not gonna reach young people by acting like a racist idiot, right? Never gonna happen. Never gonna happen in the body of Christ. And I don't wanna hear it. I don't wanna hear any of the excuses because it says if you put on Christ, you have been clothed with Christ, and in Christ, it's just how many? It's just one.
Yeah.
It's just one, right? That's crazy. Now listen, that doesn't mean that there aren't communities that have separate churches. We can't all go to the same church and have 14 million people in one service, right? But man, when somebody walks in this room and they don't look like you or talk like you or act like you, it is incumbent upon you as a Christian to act differently than the world would. It is incumbent upon you to teach your children differently. It is incumbent for you to take a stand in that nonsense because it is sinful and it is wrong and it is so unbelievably ungodly. The reason we sing the new song is because God gave us a new rescue. Someone died for you and someone didn't just die for you. They died for every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people across the whole entire globe. And when we get to heaven, if you don't think that heaven doesn't acknowledge every tribe and tongue and language and culture, you didn't read Revelation, right? They're not divided into all white people, right? It's not true, right? There is one group, but it's made up of all of these different shades and all of these different colors and all of these different cultures, right? And the body of Christ has failed miserably in that, failed collectively in that, to where we've isolated so many people. It's a new rescue. Acts 2:44, right? Reminds us all the believers were together in what church?
Had everything in common.
had everything in common. He repeats it again in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, right? In Acts 4:32, he says the same thing. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And here's what happens when believers act like that, like there's no division, there's no racism, there's no separation. You know what happens? People stand amazed. And when people stand amazed, they come and they ask. And they look and they search, right? Nobody is saying this is easy. Matter of fact, in the flesh, it's impossible. But through the Holy Spirit, it's possible for us to act, behave that way, right? Yes. We sing a new song because we've got a new rescue. Somebody say amen,
amen,
right? We sing a new song because we also have a new resource or a new response, right? One of my favorite things about my job is that I get to interview lots and lots of people, right? Even when we don't have job openings, I interview people because they send me resumes. And I never know who I'm going to find, right? I never know. Well, sometimes I do, right? I think I interviewed Aaron 10 times.
Bro, it was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, I probably should have went an 11th time just to make sure, right? But I love interviewing people because I never know what resource God may or may not be sending me, right? And I love hearing people's story. I love hearing what their heart is, because one thing I've learned over 40 some years of doing this is that from us, at times it feels like a lack of resources and a lack of response from people, but man, God is unbelievably faithful. He always has people in a season, always has the right people prepared to respond. Listen to why we sing a new song, right? We sing a new song because the Bible says in chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, you have made them to be a kingdom, right? And priest to do what?
Serve our
God. To serve our God, and they'll reign on earth. God has a new resource. He has a new response. Right? We didn't just get picked, right? We didn't just get picked so we could come and sit and go, yeah, he picked us, good for us, right? He chose us to be kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth, right? Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 9, when Christ came as our high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that's not man-made, right? That is to say, not a part of this world or this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves the old way, but he entered the most holy place once for all. How many? For all, by his own blood, having attained what kind of redemption?
Eternal
redemption, right? The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse your and my conscience from acts that lead to death? Why? Say it with me, church. So that we may
serve
the living God. 1 Peter 2 says this, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, chosen by God and precious to him. He died for you. Somebody say thank you,
yeah,
right?
Thank you.
You, like living stones, are what? You're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And what are you doing? You're offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He goes on, verse 9, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that belong to who?
God.
To God. Why? So that you can declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Yeah.
Because once you were not a people. You were scattered, divided about everything in the world, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, we get to sing a new song because we got a new rescue.
Amen.
And we get to sing a new song because we got a new response. God didn't save one of you. He didn't save one of us to sit. God saved every one of us to serve, right? The song is designed for us to understand the worthiness of the Lamb. And those that understand his worthiness sing it, because we have been redeemed. We have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we sing a new song to him, unabashedly, unashamed, to who he is and for what he's done. And then we sing a new song because that God who chose me also wants me to serve him and wants me to tell the world of his wonderful, wonderful praise, right? It's a new song because we not only get chosen, we get used. We get picked and we get put in the game. And when we come together, man, we should be able to sing that new song, right? We should be able to lift up our voices. Isaiah 42 says this in chapter 42. See, the former things have taken place. And what kind of things, church?
New things.
Come on, say it, church.
New things.
New things, I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Say it with me. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea, and all that is in it, you islands and all who live on them. God has done a new thing in you, church. Say amen.
Amen.
And because of that, we got a new song. Because we have a worthy Lamb, a worthy Savior. And we got a worthy Savior that just didn't pick you to sit and be highfalutin and judgmental and divisive based on the same things the world does. We get to be a part of reclaiming what God lost in the sin and the fall. And that is we have to create one new humanity made up of every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people. And you get to be a part of that. Amen, church?
Amen.
It's quite a song.
Yeah, I did pretty well.
That you did amazing. I was like, wow. So yeah, God loves unity and diversity. You know, I mean, just look at all the beautiful people in this room. Amen. God created us so different, and I think we should celebrate each other's differences and find joy in just knowing one another well.
Do we have to celebrate all the differences?
I don't have to celebrate your differences.
Because there's some things about you I don't like at all. Yeah. So I'm just...
I don't blame you. There's some things I don't like about me either. So Revelation 14, there's 144,000 Jews or at least people mentioned in this passage. And there's been different ideas about who these 144,000 people are, right? So I don't want us to get down that road and get lost in that road, right? Some people in this room, if you're eschatology, which just means the study of end times, if your study of end times says that these are 144 actual Jews, that's okay. You can be wrong. I'm just joking. I said that for Joe. I believe this 144,000 people personally to be all Christians throughout all time, right? Revelation chapter 7, after this list is given, John says, after this list of 12,000 from each tribe, he says, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number. Again, it's a numbers thing. It's the idea of a huge amount of people, right? And it's just another way of saying that. But this is what John writes about these people. Listen to the character, the nature of these people. Then I looked and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. So there's this new song that you and I are going to sing that no one has ever sung ever in the history of anyone, right? That we will know and no one else will know. Isn't that amazing, right? Like, we're going to be able to sing this song before God. And listen to what he says. It's from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. That's just another way of saying they are pure, undefiled, not like the world, right? They have been set apart unto God and are living that life out, right? Defiled with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Man, I don't know about you, man, but there's times I don't follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb, and in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. No matter what you believe about these 144,000 people, the thing we need to take away from these 144,000 people are three things. Number one, man, they had a devoted life, right? Those who could sing this song, this new song, were the ones who had taken a holy stand for Jesus. This is not a song for the weak. This is not a song for the cowardly. This is not a song for those who shrink back, man. This is a song for those who pursue Jesus with all of their being, right? Who have set aside everything else but him. Who've gone, you know what, everything else in the world, everything else I used to be about, everything else that was I was a part of, everything else doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that I'm standing before the Lamb who was slain, and that he purchased me and redeemed me out of the earth. And now I can sing this new song to him, right? Like, let everything else in your life, everything else in your life pale in comparison to that. Listen, what Jesus is saying here is, he's saying your life, everything that is in your life needs to come in line with who he is, within the will of who he is, right? Everything, how you treat your wife or your husband, how you treat your kids or how you treat your neighbors, how you treat the people you work with, like how you interact with the person at the checkout counter, like everything in your life comes under the lordship of Jesus. Because we are so quick to just go back to the old way. Peter says, a dog returns to his vomit, so a man repeats his folly. So we go back to the puke. You ever seen a dog eat its own puke? It's disgusting. Sorry, some of you are in the room going, I just ate. Literally, you have to bring that up. Shut up, Cord. Right? It's disgusting. But like, think about how disgusting that is. And Peter is saying, man, that's how it is when you go back to your old way of living. It's like going back to the dog puke. It's like the dog going back to that. Or like a pig wallowing in its mud after it's been cleaned. Right? God has changed your nature. And because he's changed your nature, there's an ability for you and I to sing a new song. But it's not sung by the cowardly. It's sung by those whose lives are devoted to him. Listen to what Jesus says to us in Mark chapter 10. Who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him? These days, 3 days later, he will rise. Then Jesus and John, the sons of, that is the wrong passage. I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong passage. Shoot. It's totally on me. No, it's Mark. It's Mark, but it's not that place in Mark. So Mark chapter 10, starting in verse.
Go ahead, I'll fill the gap.
Just, hey, thanks.
You know, just.
Yeah, can you go for me?
I want to hear more about the dog and its vomit.
Yeah, I figured you did. Yeah.
Just paraphrase it. You know.
Oh yeah, I do know what it is. But if you remember, this passage is where clearly I don't. But if you remember this passage, it's where Jesus says to his disciples, he says to them, you know,
take your time. Nobody's going anywhere.
Shoot. It's just one of those things where you get so bothered when you had it. So remember, he says to them, whoever would come after me, right, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Right? This is what these people in Revelation 14 were known for, right? They denied themselves, they took up his cross, and they took up the cross and they followed Jesus. Listen, what is the cross? What is the cross? What was the cross? It was the very thing that signified death, right? But what was the cross to Jesus? It was the very reason for which he had been sent. The cross for Jesus was the ministry that God had called him to. Listen, the cross in your life, the cross that Jesus is asking you to bear, is the ministry he's given over to you. And there's going to be suffering, there's going to be hardship within that ministry, there's going to be pain. But in order for you to fulfill the ministry that God has for your life, you have to be put to death. In order that others might live. He goes on to say, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find life. We're so quick to try to hold on to the things of this world. Listen to what Revelation 14:4 says about them. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for their virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Look, I don't know about you, but I want to be known as a Christian who follows Jesus wherever he goes. You know what I mean? These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. Second thing about these people is they're living a set-apart life. Their life doesn't look like the world. Their life doesn't resemble the world. Listen, we should look crazy to the world around. You as a Christian should look so crazy. Like, they should look at you and go, I don't understand why you're not freaking out. You have no money. Right? And you're like, God's got this. And they're like, what are you even, what? But when you are going, I know, my life is in shambles. I don't know what I'm going to do. What are they saying? They're saying that you have just as, you don't have faith like they don't have faith. Right? Because you respond in the same way. I mean, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6 when he's like, hey, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink or wear, for the pagans go after. Everyone goes after. Everyone worries about that. Right? But you shouldn't worry about those things. Listen to what Hebrews 12:14 says. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Holiness is that set-apartness, the sanctified life, the life that is looks different from everybody else. That when you came to know Christ, your life started to look radically different than it did before. And when people met you after knowing Jesus, they looked at you and went, what happened? That's what should have happened. For some of us in this room, people are like, oh, that he just has Jesus now, so he says. Or, oh, she just claims to have Jesus. But she's still the same, or he's still the same. Fill in the blank. We wonder why people don't want our Jesus. It's because we don't even want him. Man, we talk a good game. We talk about how much we want Jesus. But when we're like what Cord said, racist and not loving people and not, that's not Jesus, man. That's you. That's you. 1 Peter 1:5, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy, set apart in all you do. For it's written, be holy because I am holy. Listen, Jesus is not calling you to something he has not given you the ability to live out, right? And the last one is they have a testimonial life. Their life was a testimony. Listen to what Philippians 2:15 says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Man, your life should be so bright. The testimony of your life should be so bright that when people look at you, they go, man, I don't know what happened to that person. They're claiming it's Jesus. So you know what? I'm gonna believe it's that. I'm gonna believe it's him. 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Because there's a suffering in dealing with our sin, right? There's like this, you know, we kind of like it, you know? So when we don't do it, there's sometimes this like angst. We're like, I really want to do that, right? As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past, amen, doing what pagans chose to do or choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Listen, God will vindicate you on that day.
I didn't even hear you close it.
That was it, bro.
That was it.
That was it.
A new song. New song because we've got a new rescue and a new response and a new song, right? Because we live a different life, right? A song that nobody else can sing. But all of us who know Jesus are expected to sing. Amen, church. I'm going to ask David, if he's still back there, to put up Psalm 150, and I want us to hear this together as we close out this new song, right? The Bible is pretty clear about how our voices should be used to praise God, right? To offer up these praises, right? And here's the thing. We don't have to wait to heaven to sing this new song. And we don't have to wait to heaven to live this new life that God expects out of his people who have this new song. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read one Psalm 150 together and close this out. And then when we come back on the 25th, we're going to get to talk about the very thing that this new song celebrates, and that is a new heaven and a new earth. Here's what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 150. Say it with me, church. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the flute. Come on, church. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Say it with me, church. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that there is coming a day where we as your people will stand before the throne and sing a new song to you, God, that no one knows. And Lord, we are looking forward to that day. And Lord, we pray that we would be found worthy of the gospel, Lord. Let our hearts be set on you, for we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen.